While facials and massages are nice, sometimes they're nothing more than a band-aid solution. Because self-care is one thing, but radical self-kindness is another. It's all about managing those little gremlins in your mind that stop you from being your best possible self. And not constantly striving to do more, give more, and put yourself last. Or self-sabotaging your own success. You deserve to put yourself first. And you deserve to have a successful health and wellness business. Today, I'm chatting with Lucy Orton about this concept of radical self-kindness. And it's a great episode to tune into if you're feeling a bit down. So let's jump in. Welcome to the Marketing and Me podcast. If you're eager to grow your health and wellness business via effective marketing methods while maintaining your own health and wellness, this podcast is for you. The show features a beautiful blend of guest and solo episodes covering marketing and business growth topics, as well as ways to improve your physical, mental, and emotional self. I'm your host, Leanne Shelton, a health and wellness copywriter and content marketing trainer, who's here to help perfect your message, then find the right channels to send it out into the scary online world, with the ultimate goal of making it heard and seen by your ideal client. So feel free to book in a free 15-minute chat with me after listening to today's episode. The details are in the show notes. And today I'm joined by my guest, Lucy Orton. Welcome, Lucy.
Hi, thank you, Leanne. Thanks so much for having me.
Exciting to have you. Now, just for anyone who doesn't know who you are, I'll just read out your bio quickly. So Lucy is a certified positive psychology coach, podcaster, and expert on self-sabotage. Her popular weekly podcast, Self-Sabotage to Success, is in the top 5% of podcasts globally and has reached number 7 in the UK Apple Entrepreneurship Charts. Awesome, awesome achievement there. Lucy empowers her listeners and clients to step away from mindset gremlins and a critical inner voice and into their rightful space in the world. She also works with creative teams and organizations to help them retain, support, and empower their female talent. She's particularly passionate about champion women so they're able to completely shift how they see themselves, creating a huge and lasting impact for themselves and others. Woohoo! All so empowering there. Love it.
Thank you.
First of all, with your podcast, so tell us a little bit more about that. How long have you had it? How did you get it to be so successful?
Well, my podcast is, what month are we in now? I'm quite confused. we've done an international move. But it's nearly 11 months old. And I just actually about 3 weeks ago hit the 10,000 downloads milestone. So it feels like it's in the right trajectory. And actually this week's been awesome. It feels like the myths are not myths about how once you get momentum and you start getting those multitude of listens, it really starts to snowball in a good way. So that's definitely been my experience. I started the podcast in late September last year, and I did it really as a content strategy primarily, because I was working with a coach and we were talking about how it was going to show up, whether it was going to be through video or through blogging. And I had some limiting beliefs of my own around podcasts. I felt like there were too many out there and I felt like no one would want to listen, or there wouldn't be enough point and wouldn't be able to get enough listeners. And the coach that I was working with really turned my thinking on its head. You know, sometimes even the positive psychology coaches need their limiting beliefs put in check. So I completely shifted my thinking about starting a podcast. I realized that actually a really loyal, interested, engaged audience who would allow me to come in their earbuds once a week for, like, you know, 30, 40 minutes could be super powerful for my own personal brand, and also would allow me to reach more people than just my clients alone, which is something that as a coach with a certain price point, I'm aware that I can't offer my services to everyone, but I have lots of people who my message resonates with. So it gives me that option to, provide insight and information to a wider audience. And I've absolutely loved doing it. It's been amazing. I think audio is my jam. I really enjoy it. I'm much more in flow when I'm creating a podcast than when I'm writing, even though I quite like writing. But for me, the podcast recording is where the magic happens. And it's brought so many amazing opportunities and clients and feedback as well into my world, which has been amazing in terms of growing my offer, getting more well known, and getting to be involved with more organizations as well as individuals. So yeah, it's been nothing but positive for me. The podcast is called Self-Sabotage to Success, and that's really the focus. It's about shifting female purpose-led entrepreneurs away from that self-sabotaging mindset, gremlin way of thinking and being, into a far more positive, far more empowered space, which then ultimately leads to success as well as a much nicer, happier place to be.
Awesome. And I actually haven't listened to it yet. I've been meaning to. So I'm going to definitely add that to my playlist today. And I'm going to go on to it when I'm washing the dishes next or walking, which actually at the moment walking is usually with a child or two. So yes, most likely doing the dishes. Awesome. Now, you've already given us a little snapshot of your business there. Can you tell us a little bit more about your business journey, how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, so sure. I have had some varied experiences in my career and my life. I started out working in advertising and marketing, which funnily enough, I now work with those organizations, but in a different way. And I did that for about 5 years, but I kind of very quickly was aware that it wasn't the purpose. I didn't have that purpose feeling. I didn't have that flow. I worked with amazing individuals. Many of them I'm still in contact with today who were hugely talented and became amazing friends. So it was a great jumping off point straight out of uni. But it really wasn't lighting my fire pretty much from day one. So I was always wondering and thinking about what it would be like to work in an area or work with people and really feel passionate and feel empowered, but I wasn't sure what that would be. So I then shifted into speech and language therapy. I don't know if you call it speech language pathology in Australia and New Zealand, but anyway, they do call it that in America. It was amazing. It was really kind of life-changing in terms of thinking, this is what it's like to wake up and love what you do. This is what it's like to be engaged and to want to kind of throw yourself into your work. And I did that for a while and loved it. And then when my children came along, I moved across into clinical research in that area because it balanced with their needs more. Again, I really enjoyed it. I worked with an awesome, empowering female supervisor and did some really good work alongside raising my family. But when I had my third child, I kind of fell out of love with the research I was doing and wanted to really shift my attention. So I dabbled with moving into hypnotherapy, and then I hit upon coaching and firstly psychological training. And from there, I moved into positive psychology coaching, discovered the whole field of positive psychology, and got myself certified with an amazing happiness expert called Robert Biswas-Diener. And from there on in, I had that absolute passion, but I also had the autonomy. I had the interest and excitement about the work I was doing. And I could also selfishly, the work that I do is amazing because I feel the impact so quickly. I can see the impact so quickly in my clients. So it's really, really rewarding. When I worked in speech and language therapy, as awesome and amazing as that career is, and I tip my hat to all the people still in that world, it's a slower process. So what I love about coaching and the coaching that I do, the people that I work with, whether that's in an organization or one-to-one, the transformation is rapid and deep. So yeah, that's my business journey. And I've, as I said, been running my podcast for about nearly a year. I've been coaching in this space for about 5 years. So it's super exciting. My main issue, and I don't know if you have this issue too, Leanne, is I have too many ideas. I have too many places I want to take this stuff and not enough hours in the day.
Yes. Oh, yes. I know that feeling very well.
Especially right now, right?
I always have ideas and I'm like, all right, let's hold back and just focus on this stuff first. And then there's always time for that, but I always want to do it right now. So that's what I'm guilty of. Awesome journey. Yeah, I agree. I love, like, that's probably the empowering others and all that. I love that aspect too, which is why I've moved into doing the training. That's part of the reason why I started my podcast as well. Because my copywriting, yeah, it's great, but it's just like ticking a box for people. I want to actually be part of the journey and witness the aha moments. And it's just it fills my cup so much more than just, yeah, here's some great written stuff. Now do what you want with it. So I totally get that. Now for today, I want to talk about, so first of all, you mentioned self-sabotage in your intro. What is self-sabotage and what are the signs to look out for and how do we stop it?
Oh, that's a big question. So I always describe self-sabotage quite simply as when we're working against ourselves primarily, and usually in terms of achieving those hopes, dreams, and goals that mean so much to us. We really want something, but we're actively doing something else, which is going to make achieving those goals harder and harder. And that could be from, you know, feeling more content in the day to day to launching a business. The goals can be huge and varied. And in terms of what that looks like, it can be so many different gremlins, so many different ways of self-sabotage showing up. And one of the things I delve into on my podcast is each week I talk about one of those gremlins or primarily one of those gremlins. However, they are often quite interlinked. So some of the key ones that I work on with clients include imposter syndrome, which is huge, where people really feel like they're not good enough. And in feeling like and telling themselves they're not good enough, they hold themselves back and they continue to not ask for enough. They don't do the right kind of actions to move themselves into a better role if they're in an organization or their business, push their business forward if they're a purpose-led entrepreneur. Also, procrastination is huge. That's a huge self-saboteur. And what's really interesting to me about procrastination is it's kind of vilified as the problem, the issue, and it really is just a symptom. And when we dig underneath it, it's usually heavily linked to issues around self-esteem or issues around confidence. And they all need attending to. You can't just put a Pomodoro app on or get a new Trello board to solve procrastination. You have to go that bit deeper and really work with who you are and why it is that you're holding yourself back. What is the underlying limiting belief that's going on there? So that's a really big one. And I sort of touched on it a moment ago as well, but that negative inner voice is probably the single most damaging saboteur, and it feeds into all the others. And that's something that I love to work on with my clients, because with a few small tweaks and even just recognition that that is an issue, we can start to make huge inroads in how we perceive ourselves and how we move forward in our dreams, our goals, and our lives.
Yeah. And look, I've got my own little theory with like imposter syndrome, that little voice. You just got to remember that that inner critic, inner gremlins, whatever you're calling them, you know, it's just ultimately a way to keep you safe. And, you know, it's safe because you know where you are. You don't have to worry about the future and what may go wrong, but what if it goes right? And it's just a matter of going, all right, I acknowledge that voice. Oh, yeah, where's that come from? Or the procrastination. I've done that before with like, getting a new website up. I've been talking about it for months. What's stopping me? It just feels so overwhelming. Don't know where to start. Maybe I'm feeling unfocused, or even getting a little like an outreach campaign happening. Yeah, I need to get it. Oh, I need to work on that. But, oh, client work, you know, has come first. What's underlying that? You know, you need to reflect on, well, it's because you've never done this before. It's a bit different. Are you going to be rejected? What's it mean? And just acknowledging it first and going, kind of like saying to yourself, they're there. It's okay.
Absolutely.
Go.
I like that. And I like what I like about your kind of response, the way that you work through your own imposter syndrome and critical in a voice, is that you're compassionate to yourself. And I'm sure we'll come onto this later. But what a lot of people do is they add fire to the upset, really. They feel bad about not doing something. They feel worried about procrastinating, and they start to add on some extra beating up of themselves on top of that. And when we can kind of almost treat that as the inner child or person who's trying to protect us and reframe how we are interacting with that voice, whilst at the same time giving ourselves that push and that encouragement to take the action, to do the thing, then it's a much more healthy space to be in. It really does help push us forward rather than the opposite, which is just going into kind of shame spiral and feeling, you know, even worse at the end of it. So yeah, I love what you said then about, you know, they're there. That's quite a nice, quite a nice term. But one of the things I do with clients is I talk to them specifically about that in a dialogue that they have and say, you know, write down how your voice is, how you're talking to yourself. What are you calling yourself? What are you saying? And sometimes the answers are quite shocking, or the way that people will describe their inner voice. I always remember a client who described her inner voice as an army major who was telling her all day, do this, do that, don't do this, that's so stupid, like move this way, move that way. And I thought, wow, that's exhausting. So when we can just change that inner voice and really move away from that negativity and that ongoing negative feedback, we can start to see humongous changes in our mindsets and our lives.
Oh, yes, 100%. And that voice is so hard to quieten sometimes. Like I might have it for quite a while before I eventually go, no, okay, enough. Let's just do this. You started touching upon it, but yeah, in comparison, what is radical self-kindness? And that's what we were talking about today, is that topic and the impact that it can have.
Yeah, so I love to talk about radical self-kindness because I think there's a lot of talk about being kind. There's a lot of talk about self-care, but I like to go a few steps further than that, because actually being radically self-kind to ourselves is where it's at, especially as women. We have been conditioned by society to maybe play small, to maybe not shout about our achievements, to maybe not put ourselves first, or not put ourselves third, fourth, or fifth. So, you know, we're somewhat after the dog and the ironing. And actually, when we twist that all on its head and think, I'm going to start from a place of absolute self-kindness, that might feel uncomfortable to begin with, it might feel at odds with the society I live in, it might feel a bit revolutionary, then, you know, that's when the magic can happen. And there's a great quote that I like to use, and I've forgotten who said it now, but they talk about how liking yourself is a revolutionary act. And I really base a lot of my thinking around radical self-kindness in that kind of concept, where, yeah, do you know what, the world may blink a bit when you treat yourselves kindly, because it's set up ready for you to feel full of self-doubt. It's trying to sell you solutions that are predicated on you not liking yourself. So if you can start to change that, challenge that within yourself, and offer yourself that kindness, that fierce self-compassion at any eventuality, at every opportunity, then you are going to, you know, reap the benefits of that approach.
And is that always self-care as in paying for treatments and things, or what is it? What can it look like?
Well, for me, radical self-kindness is way more than just self-care, because it's, was thinking about this before I came on the call, and I was thinking about it in terms of like the present, the past, and the future. So in terms of the present, it's about being radically compassionate in terms of that dialogue you're constantly having, like we were just talking about. In terms of the past, it's about using the past as a force for good. So remembering the great achievements, celebrating the wins, recognizing when you overcame adversity, and really dwelling in a good way on that, whereas we often dwell in a bad way on the past. And then in terms of the future, it's about projecting a belief in yourself and a kindness towards yourself and your potential into the days, months, and years ahead. So I see self-care as forming part of that dialogue, part of that story. But in terms of, you know, bubble baths and getting your hair cut, I see that as maintenance and kind of, you know, just a standard. Radical self-kindness and giving yourself space maybe to have time alone. I know this is tricky at the moment, you know, in lockdown situations around the world, but to have time that enriches you, to pursue your interests and hobbies, to make changes in your life and your business, that also forms a huge part of self-kindness and is really key in terms of making sure that the overall feeling in your life is one of contentment and purpose, because we can't just patch it over with the occasional mani-pedi or, you know, one weekend in a year spending some time, you know, on our own and away from all our responsibilities. So yeah, it's much more of a holistic and mindset-led approach. Now, self-care comes into that, and I love self-care, and I talk about that a lot with clients. And often what I talk about regarding self-care with clients is changing the narrative there away from anything to do with guilt into it being part of this self-kindness approach that you're committing to.
Oh, I love it. I love a holistic approach. It's brilliant. It's so, yeah, the guilt that comes up from just wanting a bit of quiet time to read or feel like I should be putting away dishes if I've got 5 minutes to myself instead of, yeah, going to meditate or something or yeah. Spend that time on the couch. I feel like I'm always, especially when I'm home, which is a lot, I'm like, well, there's stuff to be done. So I should do that first. And then if there's a scrap of time left over, then I can relax. I'm not very good at relaxing. it's like, unless I'm sick, I force myself to relax. Otherwise it's very hard for me.
It's really interesting. I'm doing a lot of reading as well at the moment around money mindset and investing and financial independence and all that kind of thing, just kind of connected to, but also separate from my coaching work. And one of the key premises is that you pay yourself first, or that you invest first and you kind of put something away for your future before you spend all your money and before you pay the milkman and the gas and all of those different things. And I think what you described there about leaving that scrap for yourself, the metaphor continues, because when we leave a scrap for ourselves financially, we get to the end of the month and there's, not anything to invest, not anything to put forward to the future. And the same is true in terms of ourselves. If we leave ourselves just the little bones at the end of the month or the end of the day or the end of the hour, then we end up feeling deflated, defeated, and kind of like we're not going to actually have that energy to keep going and powering through into the next day. And I think, like you said before about feeling guilty for that moment sat on the couch, that moment of rest, what's really interesting to me is I always say to clients, you don't need an excuse to do self-care. You don't need an excuse to stop and rest and offer yourself self-kindness. However, if you want one, it will make you more productive. It will give you that edge in terms of your productivity and your efficiency. Sitting and staring at a screen, for 8-9 hours a day, we all know doesn't produce the work that maybe an hour and a half when we've given ourselves a bit of time off can produce. It really does impact in the most positive ways to give back to ourselves and to prioritize ourselves first.
Yeah. And I've actually been having this little thought this morning that maybe next week, I don't think I can have the complete week off. But I thought, because the weekends just aren't enough at the moment. And I'm like, what if I just said whole week or just like maybe an hour a day, that's it, of work, and otherwise just let myself have that time and just tell clients, letting you know I need this mental health break and just do it.
Absolutely. And I think people as well, when you're a purpose-led entrepreneur and you haven't got someone giving you the, annual leave and the kind of, allowances, what happens is we don't take them. And we then realize, hang on, I'm working for myself and I'm my own boss. I'm a really mean boss and I'm not getting the kind of the benefits of working for myself. I'm just getting the difficulties and the kind of uncertainty and the hustle. And we need to really switch that on its head. Otherwise, entrepreneurship and being a purpose-led female business owner can become a grind rather than the kind of passionate experience that you went into it for. So yeah, please take some time off.
That's it. And I always find myself snapping at my kids and I'm like, hang on, part of the reason why I started this business was have flexibility around them. So it's defeating the purpose if I'm going, hey, I got to work. And I don't like having to do that, especially at the moment when they're around and I'm not used to having my own space 5 days a week, right? I kind of lost that. So what are your tips on for self-empowerment on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis? Like, do you have mantras that you say to yourself daily, the things you do for yourself weekly? Any tips there?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things I could draw on here. I do have mantras. I have a number that I come back to and I work on mantras with clients, but I always want them to be from the client themselves rather than being given to you, because everyone has a different way of reacting to these kind of phrases. I'm very science-based and evidence-based, so I'm not particularly woo. But, you know, I can also recognize that some people, that works for them, and having something which is about the universe or, you know, something bigger than them can also be really empowering. So mantras, absolutely. I touched upon remembering the past really positively, and that's something I work on a lot myself and with the clients. So I journal and keep records of my wins. I celebrate my wins a lot. And I do that, I would say, to some people might say, to, you know, a point of, you know, it's too much. And I do that on purpose. So, like I said,
but how do you celebrate?
For example, when with my podcast, I shout about things, and it could be seen as boastful, but I think, again, that's part of that female conditioning. I actually had two episodes back to back. It just happened that way. One was my 50th episode, so I did a celebration. And then the next week, I had to celebrate the fact that it was 10,000 downloads. And I thought, well, I could, you know, not mention it. I could leave it. I could not do a 10,000 download episode. I've just celebrated myself and my podcast for 25 minutes. Maybe I could leave people alone. And I thought, no, it's really important, because it's really key to what I talk to clients about, because we can go through life not recognizing any of our achievements, not taking a breath. We just are looking at that next thing, that next goal, that next milestone. And we don't look back and think, wow, look at what I've achieved. Look at what I achieved yesterday, but look at also what I achieved 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I've been awesome throughout my life. And when we don't take a moment to celebrate, like you said, how do I celebrate? Sorry, I didn't answer that. But I'm talking about openly celebrating on my social media or talking to friends about things as well. I also give myself some time to think. And when I journal, I'll write down an achievement that I've done, and I won't just leave it at that. I'll go into it, I'll process it. I'll think, what does this tell me about who I am? What does this tell me about how I'm showing up for my business? What does it tell me more widely about how I show up in the world? And what skills do I have? What ways am I, you know, consistently proving to myself and others that I've got this and I'm doing really well? There was also something you said, that was it. Before, you touched upon something and it reminded me of a mindset gremlin that I'm always aware of and that I try to overcome in my clients, and also just keep in mind for myself, because this used to affect me, and that's perfectionism. So you were saying before, like, oh, you know, I'm not being so kind of calm and zen with my kids. You didn't word it like that. I can't remember. Because I'm in this difficult situation. And I think when perfectionism rears its head, we feel like we need to do everything to the most excellent level. And when we take that away from ourselves, that requirement in the day to day, it can be phenomenal, because we can think, okay, do you know what? Today I wasn't the perfect business owner, and I wasn't the perfect mum, and I wasn't the perfect, certainly in my case, I was not the perfect house cleaner. But that's okay, because I'm not aiming for perfection here. I'm aiming for progress. I'm aiming for doing. I'm aiming for taking actions, and they can be small and imperfect and flawed. And that doesn't reflect badly on who I am. So whilst we celebrate the wins, having that imperfectionist approach to the day-to-day is hugely empowering and can really help us in terms of moving forward with all of those important things that we want to do.
Yes. Oh, that's so great. Yeah. I'm like that. I'm seriously like, if I'm not at the top of my game in everything, then I'm obviously failing. Like it's kind of feels like that. It's like, you know, the kids today, I try to hug them. I'm like, hopefully this now makes up for what I can erase how I behaved like with them an hour ago or whatever. Or I hope this win with a client, they're happy with that now, they'll forget about that. And yeah, so like a point scoring system or something in my head.
Yeah, and yeah. I think, yeah, when you go back to, you know, what we talked about earlier about that sort of radical self-compassion or self-kindness, at the heart of how you're chatting with yourself, if you can try and tweak that conversation into, so it's not point scoring, it's just recognition and noticing and accepting yourself, accepting your flaws, and also recognizing the difficult situation that you're in. Something I talk about with clients a lot is a concept called the Stockdale paradox. And that's about a guy who, long story short, was in a prisoner of war camp for many, many years, like 5 or 6 years. And he eventually came out, and he was psychologically really intact. And lots of his colleagues sadly weren't. They'd had this horrendous experience. And they asked him why he had done so well, why he was in such a good place psychologically. And he said it was down to a couple of things working together. The first, he said, was that he never doubted or questioned that he was in a very difficult situation. He didn't use toxic positivity. He didn't tell himself this was all, you know, rainbows and unicorns. It wasn't. It was really, really awful. But the second thing he said was that he always knew he would prevail. He didn't give himself a date. Like lots of people said, we'll be out by Christmas, a bit like COVID. It'll be over by Christmas. It'll be over by next year. It'll be over by the year after. He didn't say that. He knew that he would prevail, although he didn't know when that would be. And the third was kind of part of that was that as well as prevailing, he would also look back on this experience as something which changed him for the good and which he would, in retrospect, not swap, not exchange. So I think that Stockdale paradox is also really important when we're in this kind of situation, like a drawn out ongoing situation. It's really important to recognize it is rubbish. It's really hard. And we're not going to be, you know, Martha Stewart or Mother Brady. I always get those two confused.
We're not going to have
Marsha Brady. We're not going to get that perfect, idealistic, completely unachievable version of our lives. It doesn't exist anyway, but it's certainly not going to happen at these in these challenging times. And again, offering ourselves compassion around that is going to be so much more helpful in the long term. And it's going to enable you to keep moving forward in micro steps and then in bigger steps as things get easier.
Oh, I agree. Thank you so much. Well, everything you said today, it's really, really, it was hit home for me, and I'm sure it will hit home for the listeners as well. So this is, yeah, really great stuff. Thank you.
Thank you. You're so welcome.
So I always ask my guests this, and that is, how do you take care of your health and wellness? So we know a little bit about your mindset and how you look after that, but what else do you do?
Well, I love to also go for walks, although I've moved to a Southeast Asian country now. So I am in a different heat zone for doing 20,000 steps a day. So what I'm shifting to is swimming, which is amazing and something that I've always loved and never been able to do on a daily basis at the moment with a few challenges. I can, because we're in lockdown as well, or semi-lockdown, I can do that. I can bring swimming into my life. I'm no athlete in terms of swimming, but I just find it really meditative to do that, to move my body and to keep myself happy and well. I also, as you said, the mindset stuff is huge. And something else which is really important to me and something I've been thinking about and we'll create a podcast episode on soon is allowing myself rest, something you touched upon earlier. And sometimes that looks like literally rest. It looks like lying down. And when I was in the process of this big international move, and I was also in a really busy point with my work, and I had three children to successfully transition emotionally away from their old life and into a new one, I found myself craving laying down in the day to maybe do some work or maybe not do some work. And I grappled with this idea and this concept. I thought, you know, there's something around this that feels intrinsically lazy or wrong or, you know, not allowed. And I questioned that, but it's totally allowed. And I'm listening to my body and I'm allowing myself to get through this incredibly busy period of my time with moments of physical rest and physical wellness. And it really felt like it was kind of all connected and talking to itself. So I have started to incorporate that a little bit more into my day-to-day in terms of slightly earlier bedtimes as well. I'm not very good at that. I'm a bit of a night owl. And just recognizing that it's okay to take a pause physically, like you said earlier, sit on the couch. My grandfather used to say a great phrase about why stand up if you can sit down? Why sit down if you can lie down? And I thought about it a lot over the last couple of months. I thought, you know what? Sometimes there's merit in lying down. You know, there's merit in moving your body, and that's all awesome. But there really is merit too in listening to your body and allowing yourself to rest. So yeah, that's what I do. Oh, and the other thing I like to do for my own well-being is read. I love reading novels. I love reading books to do with work and personal development as well. And I heard a great stat, which I must find because I keep quoting it and I don't actually can't remember where I got it from, which said that 6 minutes of reading is as relaxing as 30 minutes of meditation. And this to me was life-changing because I am quite an active mind and meditation doesn't come easily for me. I'm sure one day I'll discover it and it will be amazing. But until that point, 6 minutes of reading, it's nice to know that if I can factor that short very manageable chunk into my day, I'm getting the benefits that I might also get from meditation. So yeah, I really liked that factoid, but I do need to find out where I got it from.
I like it too, because sometimes I've been trying to meditate every morning. It doesn't always happen, but I try to read over breakfast, you know, kids are watching ABC Kids or something, and I only get 6 minutes in, so that's good to know.
Yeah, exactly.
Still,
and
I think definitely,
and it goes back to that perfectionism and imperfectionism approach, which is, well, I did 6 minutes, brilliant, go me. Like, I'm not gonna, you know, dwell on this for any longer and think that I should have spent 30 minutes doing it, or, you know, I should have been in a completely peaceful room, you know, in my yoga gear. I did it for 6 minutes whilst I was also in an imperfect setting, and that's good enough for now.
I love all this good enough stuff, because I quite often that little voice says, not good enough, not good enough. Ah. So, this has been brilliant. Thank you so much. I'll have to go back and listen to the recording myself. Thank you so much. And how can people connect with you?
Well, I'm always delighted to have new podcast listeners. So if they head on to Apple or Spotify, they'll find me on either under Lucy Orton or Self Sabotage to Success. And my main platforms are Instagram for my podcast and for my coaching work, and LinkedIn, where I talk more about work that I do with organizations. So those are my two main platforms. I'm occasionally on Facebook and Clubhouse and all the other things, but that's my focus, and I try to keep it quite tight so that it doesn't overwhelm my week. But I absolutely love creating my podcast content, so I'm always delighted for new podcast listeners. Come and binge. There's like 53 episodes, I think, today, and they all deal with a different mindset gremlin. Today's is about just effing doing it and getting out that procrastination headspace, and how that can be a real kind of magic experience. It's actually an episode that I recorded practicing what I preach by the pool in imperfect surroundings. The mic is fine, but it's not my usual standards of audio excellence. And I did it on purpose, because I always want to try and demonstrate to clients that I also walk the talk, and I push myself to go a bit out of my comfort zone, push myself away from perfectionism, to, you know, at the end of the day, move myself and my business forward.
Fantastic. Oh yes, get to that podcast, everybody. It sounds amazing. And yes, thank you so much, Lucy. It's been awesome chatting with you.
Thank you.
Really enjoyed it.
Thanks so much, Leanne. It's been brilliant.
Thank you. And thank you to the listener for tuning in. You can find show notes for the episode at marketingandme.com.au. If you enjoyed listening, please subscribe and leave me a rating and review via iTunes, and grab a screenshot of this episode and share it across your socials. If you're interested in connecting with me, feel free to reach out via LinkedIn. Just search for Leanne Shelton and let me know you're a fan of the show. And you can also find me on Instagram under Leanne Shelton 247, or book in a free 15-minute chat, because I'd absolutely love to chat about how I can help you grow a thriving health and wellness business. Until next time, I wish you good health and good wealth.